Hello, everyone. I can't say good morning or good evening here because we're all different times. My name is Michael. I'm a compulsive overeater. We welcome all people with food disorders in this, in our group, so thank you all for being here. Let me qualify first. I have lost over 200 pounds. It was 220. And there's a situation. I mean, I don't know exactly where my weight is right now, and I'll discuss that maybe. I have been in the 12-step programs for over 25 years, 25 almost 26 years old, and my abstinent date after recommitting is March 25th, 2013. So I've got roughly a 12 and a half, almost go, closing in on 13 years of abstinence. I was supposed to tell you what I was like, what changed me, and what I'm like now. I was born not a compulsive eater. At one time, my mother told me she thought they thought I was too thin of a child. Infant, but I discount that because people used to think a fat baby was a healthy baby, and I was probably a normal size child, normal size toddler, infant, and it didn't crave food. I don't remember those early years of having any wanton desire for food. It was there, and I ate with the family, and just did my growing, but I grew up, not out, at that point. So I have why I became a compulsive eater. I grew up with two parents and three siblings. At first, I had one older sister. She was about 3 years older than I, and we grew up together. But I may go back and forth a little bit, but I understand what happened in my childhood better now after taking my inventories and growing up and becoming mature in the 12-step programs. So one of my earliest memories is my older sister sitting my grandfather, my maternal grandfather's knee, and I was sitting on his lap, and I was at his knee and completely ignored. And the reason was for this was my father alienated my mother's entire family. He was not a nice person. So that I'm putting it very gently, just and I was his son, and I was felt rejection from there, from my earliest days with that family. My mother was one of five siblings, so there was competition for their father's love. My older sister of the her five of her father four siblings. My mother had the first granddaughter. Now, despite being my father's daughter, she was the first granddaughter, so she was a princess. But I was my father's son, and I guess they figure the acorn doesn't go far from the tree. And I felt this rejection, and just alone and abandoned. And not part of at that point. So I didn't eat. I didn't overeat. I realized, my father grew up. He was from the east side of New York, the Lower East Side, and he had a rough childhood. His father died when he was young. We never discussed anything. There was no communication with our family. We were like strangers growing up in the same household. I just have no concept of love from either parent, and a feeling of a part of, my sister, my older sister, was taken care of, given everything, and I was left out. And this really affected me. I didn't start gaining any weight until I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And then I wasn't obese. I was, you would think, we used to go shopping for clothes in the Husky department, which, at least I could buy clothes in a regular department store. But I found myself with the frustrations of life, and I did discover food about 8, 9 years old, 7, 8, 9 years old. I discovered that, if I ingested, especially sugar, flour, donuts, things that were, are we allowed to mention foods here? Okay, we are. Yes. So and when it just, it carried me from the burdens of life that I was, as a young child, you shouldn't have these burdens. You should be free and and just enjoying your childhood. I started going out. At the time when I started eating, the emotions, the resentments, the anger started taking over. Is that 6 minutes? Well, okay, I better speed up. My father and I always had contentious relationship, and he, I just anything would set me off. I was a child on edge all the time. So I remember my, I came in. We were playing. We were. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, specifically the city of Euclid. And it's near Lake Erie, and you get that the summer, the effect from the lake effect, and the warmth, and it was just a really hot temperature. The neighborhood kids, the boys, were playing baseball in a field, in the center of where we lived. And my team was coming up for bat, and I had enough time to run home and get some water. Well, something happened. And I acted the child and ha had a disagreement with my father, slammed the screen door and went back. I was up at bat, and from behind me, fists were flailing and they knocked me to the ground, and then feet were kicking me. And he was angry. And this is how he treated his anger with, with corporal punishment. So I really disliked this man. I learned, that he wasn't, there was no relationship that I could establish with this man. I remember one Sunday we went out for food, to a restaurant, and I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. Again, at the beginning of this era of frustration and resentment and anger in my life. And I there was some kind of disagreement we had, and I said, I'm not going in. And here was a young child, and they left me in the car alone. And they, today, there would be consequences for that, but back in those days, it didn't matter. They came out, and I felt I had achieved something. I had won something. I didn't get to eat, but I had I defended what I thought, and that was important to me. The food didn't matter. So, but I was still gaining weight. Now, I went to a junior high school, started junior high school. I was a terrible student. Not because I wasn't smart, because my father used to tell me I was stupid all the time. And this really made me depressed and angry, and all the other negative. When I went to high school, I said, "You know what? I've got to go to college. I got to do get an education. So I went there, and I used to leave the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, walk to school. In the it was cool, very cool mornings in the valley, in San Fernando Valley here, and the street was unpa no sidewalks, so I was like right next to the traffic, breathing in this fresh air. And I got to school when it opened, and the classes didn't start. So I used to sit and contemplate, study, or do whatever I needed. But I did apply myself and graduated with honors from high school and went to college. But I lost my focus. There was a, and I lasted less a year in college, and that was it. But then, my mother died that year. It was 1963. I was, what, 18. And my father was incapable of taking the care of. I had a 14-year-old sister and an 8-year-old brother. He took off to New York, and I was left to raise a family. I got a job. I was paying his bills, not mine. I didn't have any bills. His house was going to be foreclosed. I was paying double mortgage payments, taking care of two children, working, in a job with a menial pay, like 10 hours a day out in the sun in the San Fernando Valley, and I just. I brought these children up to be responsible adults. And as soon as he came back, he told my brother, my younger brother, that he didn't have to do anything I said. So my brother, he became a delinquent. He ended up in prison. And that's something that I had no part of, and have no pride in this, but. It's not. But let me get to the point where I have recovery. I started OA. I was a father of two children, and I looked at my children and I said, I'm responsible for these two young people. So I decided, I said I needed to go to OA. There was a in the San Fernando Valley, our main office was at Darby Street. And I went there and started a Wednesday night meeting. It was a 100-pounders meeting. The room was packed. I mean, it was either standing room only. And I started getting involved. Now, this threatened my wife, and I let her influence me. That was my responsibility, but I let her influence me. So I left there, didn't come back. I know I needed the 12-step programs, but I didn't. But after our divorce, 17 years later, I came back to a 12-step program, not OA, a program that was has a more strict. It's a food plan that covers everyone, male, female. There are certain medical restrictions you could have, but it was weighed. And you measured everything, and you had a food plan that gave you ate, 4 ounces of this, and it had various degrees. You became a food sponsor, a step sponsor. I forget now, but I did. I spent 17 years in there. I lost 200 pounds there, and I had some problems with people. They destroyed my program. I allowed this to happen. I tried to stay, but I couldn't. In 2017, I went to OA, went back to OA, went to the 100-pounders meeting, same night, but it was in a different office in a different city of the San Fernando Valley. And it was the 100-pound, and it was very, very sparsely populated. But I learned, to go there, and I got a sponsor there, and I started the program. Now, I've had some difficulty, physical difficulties, but I've stuck with the OA program. I was on the Vision for You, the phone meeting one day. It was a Sunday special edition, and I heard a man, and he was f from the San Fernando Valley because he gave his phone number, and he talked about a men's, a men's meeting, special, a men's group, not a meeting, a men's group. And he invited me to join that. I called him, he called back. And they have the term, which was alien to me at the time, the sober eating, where I related so much to the Big Book on the food level. It made a lot more sense. Today, I'm part of that group for 5, 7 years, almost 8 years. I have my sponsor, and I text my sponsor every day with my food, speak to my sponsor once a week. I usually write an affirmation after I text my food in, with the text. And the last word I always put is gratitude. Even if I'm not grateful today, I put gratitude. There have been a few days where I didn't, when I was going through a real difficult time this past year. And I went through, I didn't lose a person. I lost a limb, and I went through the grieving process. And about 3 months, 4 months ago, I went and I found my acceptance of what the problem is. And how, and there's going to be a solution. Whenever there's a problem that arises, sometimes I say, who can I blame? And then I say, I have to look in the mirror. There's only one person to blame. Not blame, take responsibility. Let me clarify that. So I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my words. I'm responsible for my thoughts. So I just have this, I take this responsibility seriously. So I've reached the acceptance part. I have a wound is being treated. Today was a day where they were sending a supervising nurse on, and I don't care for this, the way she treats me. And again, I had a problem, but we worked it out. I kept my tongue in check. Spoke to her, as a person with logical, soft words, and it turned out all right. Usually I get up in the morning and I hear birds and I see the sunshine and I have my contact with God, and I do my commitment that I am powerless over food today as I was yesterday, and I have to respect that. I follow my abstinent food plan. I'm in a wheelchair, so I'm not that active, and I'm eating my abstinent food less most of the time. And I speak to my sponsor, like, I just don't have the appetite now, which is completely contrary. Today, I wake up almost every day, not every day, almost every day with a sparkle in my spirituality. And I go to on a meeting 7 days a week. I usually a meeting at 7:30. I have a couple of night meetings I go to, and I enjoy program. I am service to somebody. I'm service, being of service to everybody I can is being service to myself and committing God's wishes. So I have, I call a fellow, we speak all the time. He just got a new car, and unfortunately he had an accident with it. And he was at fault. And I said, I guess he was talking to an attorney. So I told him today, because I heard he had some problems today. And I said to him, but the attorney asked him, who is at fault? And he said, well, I was at fault. I said, no, you should have used program. God was at fault because nothing in God's world happens by accident. So your accident was God's problem. You were driving, but God's, but it was just a little bit of light humor to, he was talking to me. He is not well off, and he said, now the next thing I get to get a television. Well, I've got a television here that, I've got more than one. So I said, you know what? Come get this television. And, so I checked it out today and everything was working with it. And you know what? To give something rather than have it sit in my house, to give it to somebody who works, if you can do anything like that to help other people is such a blessing for me. And I, and all I can say is, you know what? Thank you, God, in gratitude for what I am today, who I am today, and what has become of my life. And I thank you all for being here. Rich, thank you very much for inviting me here to express my spirituality and experience strength and hope. All right, that's it.